إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Welcome all of you, and we continue these classes. As we mentioned, we began last week reading from this book, Al-Intisar li Huquq al-Mu'minat, Ta'lif Umm Salama al-Salafiyya, Supporting the Rights of the Believing Women by Umm Salama. In the previous class, we just, with the introduction, we read what the Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullah Ta'ala said about the book and the author of the book. And along with that, the Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahullah Ta'ala gave some golden advices for everyone. And also we read the introduction by the author herself. She highlighted the importance of seeking knowledge and that the women should know their rights. And also the men, they should know the rights of the women and the like, because these are rights that are legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not rights that has to do with tribalism or something, but has to do with what Allah has legislated. So the women, they need to know their rights, so they don't ask for more than what Allah has legislated for them. And also if one of their rights is taken, they know what it is. And also the men, they should know this because they need to know the rights upon them so they can fulfill them to the best of their abilities. Because for both men and women, they have to always remember that they will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we're going to be asked about the rights of Allah upon us and the rights of the creation as well. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we read the first chapter of this book, The Rights of the Daughter Upon Her Father. Before that, a side note, I didn't receive the books yet. As I said last week, mashallah, I didn't receive the books yet, but once we receive them, we're going to pass them on, inshallah ta'ala. The Rights of the Daughter Upon Her Father. She said, Hafidah Allah, desiring children is the greatest of the purposes of marriage, because in children is the continuation of humanity. And we live now, and we're gonna grow up, and we're gonna grow, we're gonna go elder, and we're gonna die. But those little children that we see now, they're gonna take our places, boys and girls. And then, inshallah ta'ala, those amongst them, Allah will give them children. And then they will grow up and live this life. And their children will assume the responsibilities. And this is how it is, this life. Okay, this is how this life is. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged his companions toward marriage by saying, تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ. Marry the affectionate, fertile woman. In the woman that she has affection, and that's a part of good manners. And also, woman should she give birth to children. But also, the ulama, they said it doesn't mean that the woman that doesn't give children, she be neglected. No. This is encouragement, and they highlight that the fact that having children is something, first is a ni'mah from Allah, you're going to understand. As you're going to mention later on, it's not because of the man and the woman. There's a lot of people that are married for years, but they have no children. So it's very important to understand that this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. She said that some fathers imagine that the responsibility for bringing up the child falls merely on the mother, and that nothing is requested of him except to provide material things for his wife and child. Therefore, he spends most of his time outside of his home, working or with his friends. Even when he returns to his house, he sits by himself in his room, warning his wife not to allow the child to trouble the purity of his thoughts or of his dreams if he is sleeping. No doubt that the father and the mother, which the husband and the wife, they have a play, each one of them has a great role to play. Each one of them has a great role to play in the family and also in the society. But this beautiful legislation of Islam has defined the roles of each one of them. The role of the man and the role of the woman. And that the man is the responsible number one on the family. He's, like you say, the chief in the family. He's to be obeyed and he's to be respected in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's to be aided and assisted in his great task and a great responsibility. And this doesn't mean that a man will understand this, I'm the leader of the family, that he be oppressive to his wife or the children. No. That's a great responsibility. It's like the driver of a bus. Okay, since the bus, the driver, he's the one who making turns. Not everybody chip in the direction of that bus. But then the people, they have to assist the driver, not to bother him, not to disturb him, not to ask too many questions. No. If they see him making a mistake, they correct him, correct nicely, and this and that, they suggest. Here, she points out a very important point that, yes, some fathers, and this is because of the traditions, not because of the legislation. Because we have the best example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was a man, and he was married. He has families. And we have the best example in him to see how, if we, those men amongst us that are married, if we want to know, if we want to do better job and the best job in our marriages, then we have to learn the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, in somewhere in the world, because of traditions, not because of what is legislation. It's not because of legislation. Because of tradition, some man think like, that's it, man. Once I come home, I got done anything. Nothing at all. Because I've done my job. I worked and I bring money and I pay the bills and I bring food and that's all I have to do. No. It is a great responsibility. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to help out in the house. He used to do things, chores. Likewise, we men, we have in the Prophet ﷺ the best example. And of course, as the ulama, they mentioned, yes, when the man come in the house, the husband or the father, because he is the husband and the father, of course, the woman, she should make sure that he gets some respect in the house, get some quiet time to get some rest and the like. That's his house. But it shouldn't be always the time, that's all I gotta do in this house. No, she's supposed to help around and to be involved and to be concerned and the like. Dislike of the father's discontent towards daughters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura, that's chapter 42, verses 49 and 50. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما إنه عليم قدير. To Allah belongs the possession of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wants. He grants as he wishes females, and he grants as he wishes males, meaning boys or girls, girls or boys. Or he grants both males and females, and he makes who he wills barren. Verily he is all-knowing and all-powerful. When the people are married, so some people, mashallah, they get children from Allah. Not because of them. So they get children. Allah grant them children. Some Allah give them girls. Alhamdulillah, that's a beautiful thing. Some give them boys. Alhamdulillah, that's a beautiful thing. Some get, they get both, girls and boys. Some get none. Because Allah does what He will. And we believe in the Qadr of Allah, and we just say, Alhamdulillah. You have boys, you have girls, you have none, say Alhamdulillah. Then she mentioned the statements of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah, rahimahullah, who said, Allah divided the condition of the wives into four types. These four types contain every condition that is present in women. And He informed us that whatever children He destines for them would be given to them. And that if the servant only shows his dislike, which is enough to show that he is discontent with what he has been given. Should accept what Allah gives you. Don't show no discontentment with the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this verse by mentioning the females. She said, Ummu Salama, she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this verse by mentioning the females. See, He mentioned the females before the male. She said, it is said that the reason for doing this is to honor them, to honor the female, in order to strengthen their position with their fathers. And especially, you know, before Islam, what Allah al-Musta'an, what certain ignorant people and arrogant used to do with little girls, وَعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ. As Allah tells us in the Qur'an, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And when that little child who is buried alive, what crime, what crime? What crime has she perpetrated to deserve that? To be killed, وَعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ. So she said, it is said, when she said, it is said, means the ulama, the mashayikh, it is said that the reason for doing this is to honor them in order to strengthen their position with their fathers. In addition, it is said, and she said, and this saying is better, that they were mentioned first, the females, in this, because Allah grants to whom He wills females. They were mentioned first, because the phrasing indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wants and not what the parents want. And this is very important to understand. The parents usually only want boys. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed them that He creates what He wishes. And this varies. This wish of parents wanting boys more than girls or girls more than boys varies from place to place, from a tribe to a tribe and the like, and from area to an area. But that's the reality. Some people, they want, oh, I want a boy, I want a boy. Especially if Allah grant them a couple of girls, two, three daughters, and they're like, oh, we want a boy. You want what Allah wants for you. And you be content with what Allah has provided you. She says, Allah began by mentioning the sex that He wishes and not the one the parents wish. She said, I have another opinion, which is that He sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions first that which was the least liked thing in the times of ignorance, see? In the time of ignorance, which were daughters. Which were daughters. Parents detested their daughters so much that they buried them alive. والعياذ بالله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred them, meaning the females, although they were worthless to these people in the time of Jahiliyyah. The female, they were worthless. They didn't mean anything. والعياذ بالله. They have no status, no respect. But Islam came and gave all the respect due for women. She said, let us reflect upon how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the indefinite article, not using the word the with women, and the definite article using the word the with men. Okay? You can see it in the ayah, because Allah says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Allah didn't say Al-Inath. Al-Ta'rif. Those who know a little bit of Arabic, you will see that's Nakira. إِنَاثًا. It's not different. But then when he talks about male, he says, وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ with Alif Al-Lam. He didn't say ذُكُورًا like he says إِنَاثًا. That's what she's trying to highlight here, okay? She says, let us reflect upon how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the indefinite article, inathan, with women, and the definite article, al, al-dhukur, with men. She said he repairs the deficiency of womanhood by mentioning women first, and he repairs the deficiency of mentioning men last by using the definite article. The definite article used here is intentional, as if he, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said he gives what he wishes to the most famous well-known horses, which are not concealed from you. Then when he mentions the two groups together, he mentions males first, giving everyone their rights of preference. She said Allah knows best what he desires by that. The meaning of the verse is that this grand lament with daughters is from the character of pre-Islamic times, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispraises when he says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. In Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, the ayat 58 and 59. If one of you is given the glad tidings, actually there is a mistake in the translation here, and if one of them is given, not one of you, if one of them, because Allah says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ هُمْ not أَحَدُكُمْ. Okay, whoever have the book, correct that. If one of them, meaning those people who used to do these things, not us, alhamdulillah, we don't do these things. If one of them is given the glad tidings of a daughter, his face becomes dark and he is full of anger. At that time, they didn't know, like now, alhamdulillah, because of the technology, that Allah allowed this technology, not because men. Allah allowed these people to come into this level of technology. So as soon as the woman is pregnant, maybe, I don't know what phase is, way before she gave birth, they will know the gender, if it's a boy or a girl. But then they wait until the lady give a birth. So you'll find the person, the whole, these people here who, because they didn't have Islam, ya akhwan. That's the difference. We have Islam, so we shouldn't act like those people who had no Islam. So you'll find the man when his wife pregnant, constantly he's like, oh, gotta be a boy here, better be a boy. Can you imagine how much hardship the woman go through? She don't know what's in her belly. And she's hoping that he may be a boy. But in the same time, she's like, what if he's not a boy? What if he's a girl? And he's constantly, yeah. And then the people, they make fun, the whole pregnancy. And then when she give a birth, look, when they told him it's a girl, the believer, what the believer do? He's happy, say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, may Allah make her from the righteous, I mean. But these people, if one of them is given the glad tidings of a daughter, his face becomes dark and he is full of anger. But if they told him he was a boy, oh, subhanAllah, he's happy, the most happy. He's going to throw a big party and slaughter so many camels and sheep and give out so much money. But if it's a girl, but it's all from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his face becomes dark, and he is full of anger. He hides from his people the evil of what he has been given glad tidings of, saying to himself, do I take it and be humiliated or bury it in the ground? So he be like, he want to make a decision. If I keep her, then he be humiliated the rest of his life with those ignorant people. Okay? Yeah, this man has nothing but girls and this and that. But if he bury her, mean he will... What should he do? The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is not their judgment evil? How they judge the girls? This is evil indeed. He despises them again when they claim about him what they detest themselves. For themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَا ضَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ مَثَلًا ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Surah Al-Zukhruf, that's chapter 43, ayat 17. And if one of them, Allah still describing those ignorant people, the polytheists and the mushrikun of jahiliyyah. And if one of them is given glad tidings with what they claim about the Most Merciful, their faces become dark and they are full of anger. Because they say that Al-Malaika Banatullah, because their claim, the Juhal, they say that the angels are Allah's daughters, al-iyadu billah. That's what they used to believe. They used to believe that the angels are Allah's daughters. So they ascribe to Allah daughters, but then them they don't want daughters, subhanAllah. There is nothing wrong about daughters. Shaykh Fawzan, when he mentioned this, he just mentioned it to refute them. He said, there is nothing wrong with daughters. Daughters are beautiful. And yet they are from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who grants boys and grants girls. Or has it not been for a girl? How me and you come to this existence? Eh? If everybody wants boys, so where are we going to be in 50 years from now? Allah al-musta'an. But alhamdulillah for Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ دِيزَا in Surah Al-Najm, verses 21 and 22. Is it that for you is the male and for him the female? For you, I mean those men, they desire male boys, but for Allah they ascribe to him females. That then is an unjust division. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ لَيُسَمُّونَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَسْمِيَةَ الْأُنْثَى. Verily those who do not believe in Allah and the last day, name the angels with female names. That's also Surah Al-Najm, verse 27. And now she mentioned in a chapter here, or titled Barry and Daughters, is from the major sins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Takwir, that's chapter 81, in verse 8 and 9, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When the girl who was buried will be asked, for what sin she was killed? SubhanAllah. For what sin? None. None. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, said, سُئِلَتْ is the reading of the majority of scholars. The word al-maw'uda, al-maw'udatu, means the girl that pre-Islamic people buried in the ground because they hated daughters. Wal-iyadu billah. As a result, on the Day of Judgment, the buried daughters will be asked, for what sin were they killed? Were they killed in order to establish the punishment for their deaths? It's another mistake. He says, they will be asked, for what sin were you killed? Could both. Were they killed in order to establish the punishment for their deaths? So if the oppressed is the one being asked, what will the oppressor think? SubhanAllah. If the one who's been oppressed will be asked, and what about the one who's the oppressor? Did she mention on the authority of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ عُقُوقَ الْأُمَّهَاتِ وَمَنْعَ الْوَهَاتِ وَوَأْدَ الْبَنَاتِ وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ. Verily Allah has prohibited you from being undutiful to your mothers. Allahu Akbar. He's prohibited. Gotta respect your mothers. Verily Allah has prohibited you from being undutiful to your mothers and burying your daughters alive. And He dislikes that you spread rumors or ask too many questions, or waste your wealth. This hadith is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and al-Imam al-Muslim, rahimahum Allah. An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, said in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, because al-Imam al-Nawawi is one of the scholars that explained Sahih Muslim. Likewise, we have the famous explanation on Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. The famous explanation on Sahih al-Bukhari, which is called Fath al-Bari. Fath al-Bari, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. As for Sahih Muslim, one of the great and most important explanation on Sahih Muslim is by An-Nawawi rahimahullah. So An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala said in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, because this hadith in Sahih Muslim, as for burying daughters, its meaning is to bury them alive until they die under the ground. It is from the major sins, because it is killing someone without illegal reason, and it amounts to cutting off the ties of the womb. And it is also oppression of the girls, as it is a pre-Islamic custom. And it's oppression for the mothers too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطَأً كَبِيرًا. And do not kill your children fearing poverty. We give sustenance to them and you. Verily, killing them is a major sin. All these things used to be done in time of Jahiliyyah. And if it's done after Islam, it's done by people who do not understand Islam. Wal-iyadu billah. They don't understand it correctly. This is Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 31. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of the highly esteemed scholars, who said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which sin is the greatest to Allah? Which sin is the greatest? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answer was, أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك قلت إن ذلك لعظيم قلت ثم أي قال وأن تقتل ولدك تخاف أن يطعم منك قلت ثم أي قال أن تزاني حليلة جارك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he answered that question. He says that you associate partners with Allah when He alone created you, that's the greatest sin. I said, this is Ibn Mas'ud, he says, I said, that is the greatest indeed. Then I said, and what is next after that? The Prophet ﷺ said, that you kill your child, fearing that he will share food with you. That's very great. Then I said, what is next after that? He says, that you commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. This is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. The merit of raising daughters. Now she's going to elaborate on the merit of raising daughters. On the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من عال جاريتين حتى تبلغا جاء يوم القيامة أنا وهو كهكذا. الله أكبر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hadith collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Whoever provides and to get good care and raise and provides for two girls until they reach adulthood, he and I will be like this on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Then he puts his fingers together. Allahu Akbar. You provide for two girls. Take good care of them and be nice to them and the like, as the ulama they mention. Then Allahu Akbar, you come. Who don't wants to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yawm al-qiyamah like this, close to him? May Allah make us from them. Ameen. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha is the mother of the believers. She's one of our mothers, because Allah mentioned in the Quran that the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they are mothers of the believers. She is one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, and she is the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. She said, دخلت علي امرأة ومعها ابنتان لها تسأل فلم تجد عندي شيئا غير تمرة واحدة فأعطيتها إياها فقسمتها بين ابنتيها ولم تأكل منها ثم قامت فخرجت فدخل علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبرته فقال من ابتلي من هذه البنات بشيء فأحسن إليهن كن له سترا من النار. الله أكبر. شو, listen to this. عائشة رضي الله عنها, she says, a woman and her two daughters came to me asking for some charity. This woman, she came asking for some food or something, you know. She came to Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha said, however, she didn't find anything from me except one date. Look, this is the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing, ya akhi, no food, nothing. One date. Some of us men, we don't know what we do if the house is filled with a lot of food, but just because we don't see what we want. And likewise, the women, the brother, she has like six cabinets full of all types of, who knows, pineapples and hummus, right around, carrots and beans and olive, cheeses, different bread, peanut butter, jelly, milk, the freezer is packed, fish, shrimps, chicken, and then bring us a pizza. If he says, well, you know what, I can't, I don't have it, oh, that's it. He's not going to see no good from her for the next 3 days. That's minimum, by the way. Wallahu al-musta'an. Now, it shouldn't be that way, akhwan. We learn from the sunnah of the Prophet, both men and women. If your wife presented something, say Bismillah and eat it, akhi. Don't argue. But if you want something else, tell her, MashaAllah, this is good, Jazakallah khair. But I'm just wondering when you're going to cook that turkey. You know what I'm saying? Nice, you ask it nice way. As for me, I know when my family cook the turkey when I'm not home. Okay? Alhamdulillah. For another reason. Because I can't stand the smell of it. But alhamdulillah, they like it. I told them I don't mind. As long as if it's okay with you to cook it when I'm not home, mashallah. When I travel, Allahu Akbar. Right, Muhammad? It's okay with me. But if a man wants something from his wife to cook something, because when a man go to the groceries, because usually, maybe he wants something, he has something in his mind. But how that woman gonna know? He's gonna get mad at her because she didn't cook it? No, say, if you have some time, please, with you, please. Mashallah. And you, if he ask, and you can do it, or if you have time, mashallah, do it. But if you cannot do it, apologize. Say, yes, I will do it, but not tonight. Inshallah, I don't feel good. You know that. Take a little bit more preparations. Inshallah ta'ala. That's how we do it, ikhwan. But look here. This is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the household of the best of mankind. She got nothing to give her except a date. Except for one date. Therefore, she said, I gave it to her. She divided it between her two daughters. Look at this woman. She cut it in half, and she gave one half to this daughter, and the half to the other one. She didn't eat anything herself. But that woman, she didn't eat anything herself. Unlike some mother, she put it in her mouth, and when the daughter said, hey, well, that was only one. No. She didn't eat anything from it. Then she stood and left. That woman, she left. After which the Prophet ﷺ came in, and I told him what happened. Aisha radiallahu anha, she told the Prophet ﷺ the story. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is tested by these daughters and is kind to them, they will be a shield for him from the fire. Those girls. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now you want more girls, huh? Allahu Akbar. And Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, because this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, by the way. Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. And Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, in this ahadith, well, no, he said, verily, and in Nawawi said, verily, they are referred to as a test because they are disliked by custom. By custom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْتَ ذَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدٍ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٍ. When one of you is given glad tidings of a daughter, when one of them is given glad tidings of a daughter, his face becomes dark and he is full of rage. An-Nahl 58. And Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, in this ahadith are merits of being kind to daughters and sustaining them and being patient with them and their affairs. See, there is merits and there is virtues. On the authority of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, من كان له ثلاث بنات وصبر عليهن وكساهن من جدته كن له حجابا من النار. Whoever has three daughters and is patient with them and clothes them from his wealth, they will be a veil for him from the fire. This is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, but in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad. But it is authentic hadith, it's sahih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the rights of women, فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And if you dislike them, meaning the women, perhaps it is that you dislike a thing in which Allah has put much good. Someone dislike his wife and he want to get rid of her just like that. But Allah says, if you dislike them, perhaps it is that you dislike a thing in which Allah has put much good. A person should be patient and turn his affairs to Allah, not to his desires. Turn it to what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be patient, because this life is going to pass quickly. And the real life, what counts, is the life of the hereafter. Okay? And if a man wants to follow his desires, as the ulama, they says, if he married the whole woman of the city, still not going to be satisfied. But if he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to be content. He's going to be content because he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah, not following his desires. Moreover, the servant might find much good in them, in this life and in the hereafter. It is sufficient that whoever dislikes them dislikes something that Allah likes and has given him to benefit him. This is the attitude of a believer. A believer always is content with what Allah has decreed. And even in a time of hardship and difficulty, person is patient. And he evaluates the situation from all angles, not just to put the blames on one side. No, sometimes we're wrong. And because we don't want to listen, and because we have something in our mind, stick in our mind, I'm not listening to her, whatever she said. No, this is not right. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to you to listen to his wives. Read the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes. In high matters, in very important matters, the Prophet ﷺ turned, and if one of his wife said something that really beneficial, the Prophet ﷺ, he take it and he apply it. And we still read it in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So we men, we say that he is our example, he's our role model, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. So why when it comes to make decisions, all of a sudden we don't remember these ayats and this hadith? We don't remember. And we act upon our desires. And that's what gets us in trouble, for real. And it's both for men and women. We gotta apply Islam, not just whenever we like to apply it. No, we gotta apply it in a day and a night, in times of ease and times of difficulty. With the sunshine and with the rain, doesn't matter. But this, of course, this is another level. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge that is taken from its proper sources, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as understood by Salaf al-Salih, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ulama who took from them until this present time. We ask Allah to allow us to act upon that knowledge righteously, sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah preserve our women and our daughters. May Allah protect them, especially in these circumstances and in this time. May Allah protect them from evil and strengthen their hearts upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make them the good example for our daughters and our sons. May Allah grant them patience with us. And may Allah forgive us for the harm that we may cause to them or any negligence that we may have. May Allah protect us all. Ameen. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.